in the name of Jesus, isn't it? That's a thing. Just we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. And while you're finding that, I was just asking Sharon there tonight about how Tommy was getting on. So Tommy is in LA waiting on a flight to Tucson, I believe. So let's keep Tommy and all in prayer. You know, isn't it great that the Lord is still in the business of saving souls? Yes. That's the most important thing. And Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. And this might seem like a strange verse to read, but we'll go into it anyway when we start it here. It says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbour's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." Well, just ask the Lord to bless us in the word of prayer again. Lord and Heavenly Father, we just ask you once again, Lord Jesus Christ, that already been prayed that you would come and be one of our number. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that you would come and help me, Lord. Lord, that the thoughts upon my heart, Lord, that I can get them across and that they'll be a blessing for you. Not for any glory of myself, Lord, but for your glory and for your honour and for your praise. Lord Jesus, I pray for just the remainder of this service, that you would come and have thy way, for it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. You spent to have your seats. Maybe you're wondering, you know, that's a strange verse to read. It says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbour's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." And this is during when Moses is telling them this. This is going to be one of the statutes, one of the laws when they go into that promised land. But the reason why I was thinking of the landmark, I just happened to be talking to my father-in-law, my brother-in-law one day, and you know, in round their house, when the land's ploughed up, I think there's one of their fields and maybe a neighbour's fields. You know, you can look at them fields, and when you look at them, you'll see an area in them where it's black, and you can actually notice the difference in the soil colour, where it's like a blackness in the soil. And I was like, why? I hadn't actually seen it myself, but they tell you where it was. They could go and show you it when it's ploughed. One part of the farm, there was a quarry there, and one of the fields as well. But you know what that landmark, that's what I'm saying, is it's a landmark, it's a mark in the land. Maybe it's different context than this, but that mark has come from maybe 100, 200 years ago, when they went to build the house. You know what they'd done? They didn't go down to a building supplier's and they ordered a load of bricks. They actually come to the site where they're going to build, and they made the bricks and they built a kiln right there, and that's where they burnt them. You know, and that is why that mark's there to this day. That's a landmark there because of what happened there. And you know, you might say there's no evidence of a kiln there anymore. When the grass is grown or where barley what's grown, you'll not see that. But you know what there is? There's a house standing there. And that house is there because of them bricks. And you know, I was thinking, well, isn't it something that then I was thinking, you know, what about God's word, the landmarks in God's word? You know, there's lots of landmarks in God's word. And here it says, "Do not remove thy neighbor's landmark." And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, if you read it, 27, it's actually chapter 27. And verse 17, it says, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbour's landmark, and all the people shall say amen." God has said, cursed be the one that removes the landmark. And you know, to be cursed, it's, you know what it is when God curses you? You're finished. And what is it if you remove, what were these people doing when they removed the landmark? They were stealing, they were actually, what the landmark was, for those maybe that don't understand, so when they went into an area, they maybe put a stone, set of stones or a pillar, and that was their possession. Everything within those was their possession. It was their inheritance. And when somebody come past, maybe somebody greedy, that had their own, but maybe they thought they hadn't enough. Mm-hmm. And they would try to cheat, To move it was to cheat. To move it was to defraud them. That was the, what they were trying to do, to defraud them, their inheritance. And you know, the God says they're cursed. If you do that, you're cursed. And if you read on in chapter 28, you'll see all these curses that God talks about. And you know, one of them would be enough nearly to finish you. But you would not want the wrath of God on it. But what about people that are removing biblical landmarks? You know, what about people that say that God no longer heals? What about people that say that's not for today? What about somebody that says, well, you know, you don't really need a, these born again. You don't really need that.
Yes.
You just need to, you know, go to your church. You don't need to be a holy roller. Just be a good person, go to your church, pay in your money. You know, a man one time told me that he was asking me, he started quizzing me about the meetings here. But I've learnt by now, when people start to do that, the best thing you can do is start to quiz them. And I said to him, would you come along? No, no, I couldn't do that. Go to my own. Where do you go? Well, I don't really go. I pay into it. I says, well, you know something, paying into it will not save you. It'll not take you to heaven. Now, I says, if you were to die right now, would you be ready to go? And you know, that was it, over. I didn't want no more of it. But in our day and age, there's landmarks. Right throughout this Bible, there's landmarks. Biblical landmarks. And you know, I was thinking, well, what about the... We'll take a few landmarks, just a few. I don't want to be long, because, you know, my thoughts tonight was that we'd come and we'd pray. We'd really pray for these people that in our souls we want to see saved. And you know, I've already asked people, and there's already excuses why they can't come. And that, you know, you have to expect that, because this is an evil age.
Yes.
This is an age where they say people haven't even retained God in their knowledge. But here's the difference. We heard already, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. You know, and you have to believe that, and keep trusting in that, and keep believing, because God hears and answers prayers. But I was thinking, what about the landmarks in Isaiah? In Isaiah chapter 7, give me time to find it here. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Here's one of the greatest landmarks in the Bible. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is 700 years, around 700 years before the birth of Christ. And here's a landmark promising the coming of the Messiah. But not just a... Excuse me a minute. I've got a tickly throat. Maybe what way... When this was given... And people's thinking, maybe the holy men of the time, the most religious men of the time, maybe couldn't conceive how a child could be born to a virgin. And when the child was born, the lady was still the virgin. You know, and when Jesus did come, what did they call him? Illegitimate. They said, this is not, that's just Joseph's son. They didn't recognize who he was. But it says, I shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yes.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is it not some word from the Lord?
Amen.
That's the promise of the Messiah coming.
Amen.
And if you turned over to Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, and we'll be turning to a few scriptures. And you know, it's good to turn to the scriptures, because they all tie in together. Luke chapter 1, in verse 26, we'll read a few verses here. And this is where Gabriel visits Mary. And it says, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, to stop there, people talk about the Virgin Mary, and a lot of people take, they nearly say, mention Mary's name as if it's a swear word in our country. You know, this is maybe on tape, but because we are in the country that we're in, and when we grew up, it's maybe not just like as much now, but when we grew up, it was real segregation in our schools, and maybe in some of our workplaces, and some of the estates where we lived. But there's people here, and they pray to the Virgin Mary, and it's sort of, they have Mary, maybe because they do that, maybe our side, the Protestants, maybe don't really revere Mary, or maybe if you talk about Mary, they think you're more on a Catholic line. But you know, you have to realise, what sort of girl was Mary that God sent as the angel to her? Mary must have been some, if we could be in the position that Mary was in her life, where God would send an angel to her to say, blessed art thou. You know, wasn't it Elizabeth that prophesied and says, blessed art thou among women?
Yes.
Because God had sent, and the Saviour of the world was to come. That's the way he was to come.
Yes.
A kinsman redeemer was through Mary. And the angel says in verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favoured. And in my margin it says, or graciously accepted. You know, it's not something to be graciously accepted. Because Mary, people talk about the Immaculate Conception, and in Catholic doctrine, they nearly say that Mary was Immaculate Conception too, born without sin. But she wasn't. Mary was born in sin and shapen in iniquity like each and every one of us. And many times you've heard that in that upper room, Mary was there and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Mary was there and received that Holy Ghost. But she was highly favoured and says, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Excuse me. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now there was Isaiah, was prophesying, and there was a landmark. 700 years later, here God has brought this landmark to pass. You know what I said? If you try to defraud this landmark, you're taken away from God's word. You can't do it. You know, this is a statue. This is what God has promised, and God has done it. And but then what else does it say about this Jesus? It says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And what's that speaking of? That's the landmark where Jesus, when he's had 3.5 years of ministry upon the earth. And here it's speaking about, this is the where Jesus is going to be killed. He's going to be murdered by the Pharisees and the Romans at the time. Excuse me. And he's going to be crucified. And he's going to be whipped. But what was he? It was all for us. You know, it says,
yeah,
he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yes,
it wasn't his own, it was ours.
Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Yes.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Yes,
and with his stripes were healed. And what does it say in Matthew 27 and 26? Here's what it says in Matthew 27 and 26. It says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered on to him the whole band of the soldiers. And they striped him and put on a scarlet robe. Here they striped him. So there once again was Isaiah prophesying of a landmark to come. And here's this landmark that has come. It's a landmark in the word of God where Jesus is striped for us. Why was he striped for us? He was striped for your healing. With his stripes ye were healed. In Luke 23 and 33 it says, When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. What did they do? They crucified him. Why did they crucify him? Because for us, because God had a plan of salvation. The plan of salvation was that he would send his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it says, there they crucified him. They nailed him to that cross. You know, that death was bad enough, but the state that Jesus was in before that, he suffered as a man. Mm-hmm. And he suffered more than any other man. It says he was marred more than any other man. In the Psalms, David says, The plowers ploughed upon my back. They made long their furrows. You know, when they had whipped Jesus, they said one time that the flesh fell down off his shoulders over his buttocks. You know, the whip cut the hair off the top of his neck. You know, it's such a cruel... You know, the one thing about the Romans that were cruel, they were an army that conquered and domineered. And they knew how to punish. They knew how to torment. They knew how to kill. You know, that's what they were masters at, killing. And a spiritual realm is the sex same. It's death. You know, death followed the natural, the empire of Rome. But the spiritual, death follows it too. But, you know, it's not because in the spiritual, it's not as aggressive. It's not where somebody can stand back and say, that man's getting an awful beating, or they're going to kill that man. You know, in the natural and the spiritual now with Rome, people look at it and they say, it's not lovely. Was not a lovely service. Oh, that was a great service that we had for them. A great vigil that we had for that person. It was just lovely as a real comfort. But you know what? In God's eyes, that's death. Amen. Because here's what they're doing. They're defrauding. Amen. They're defrauding the landmark. Amen. Where God said he'd send his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever Amen. Should not believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And you know what one of our landmarks was? It was the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Amen. But here they have a man that says, I'll be like God. He'd sit in the temple to say, I am God. And they'd come to me, and I have power to forgive sins. But he has no power. You know, he has no power at all. The only power to forgive sins is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, death follows us. But life is in this word. That's where life is tonight. And it says, there they crucified him. And I was thinking then, well, there you have the promise of Jesus coming. He could take lots of landmarks throughout his ministry, but I thought, we'll take that cross, there's a landmark. But then I was thinking, well, there's another landmark. What about the promise of the Lord, that he's promised to us, that in our day and age, he would come again. Mm-hmm. And you know what he would do before he would come again? He would send the spirit of Elijah. Mm-hmm. You know, many people don't believe that. You don't mention that to some people. You don't, because as soon as you do, they just class you as a cult. If you try to tell somebody in our day and age that God has sent a prophet, they'll just, straight away, they'll say that man is crazy. Mm. And you know, and that's what happens. And a lot of time it's Christian people. It's not people that we'd say out in the world, it's Christian people. But what did God say? In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Yeah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's God's word. That's another landmark. Amen. And you know what? It's every bit as important as the rest in this Bible. He says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Because, you know, what I think has really happened. People, when they read the Bible, think it's a time 2,000 years ago, that's Bible times. They don't realise that the Bible's the most up-to-date book in the world. Amen. You know, why you want to believe it or not, we're in Bible times right now. Amen. Because God has said, as it was in the days of Noah, Amen. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And Elijah prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. There was the spirit of Elijah. Then Jesus came, and who was on the scene just before Jesus came? John the Baptist. There was the spirit of Elijah once more. Now, the Pharisees did not believe that John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah. You might say, well, they did. But when here's the thing. When they ask Jesus, by what spirit do you do this? Jesus says unto them, I'll ask you a question. John the Baptist, what spirit did he do it by? And you know, they said to themselves, if we say that it is of God, they'll say, well, why did you not believe him? And they said, we don't know what spirit it was of. But you know, the people believed in John. They realized that John was, they believed that John had come, and he was like Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. And we're promised that Elijah would come again. And I believe he has come again in our day, in our generation. And you know something, here's another thing. The spirit of Elijah will come again. Them two witnesses to Israel in Revelations, who had the power to call fire down out of heaven? Elijah, who had power to bring the plagues? Moses, there's your two witnesses in Revelation. You know, that's even in the future yet. Many people, you know, it goes over their head. They can't. That's a landmark that they can't accept. They don't recognize that landmark. But in Matthew 17:11, you know, this is Jesus speaking. And he says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, alas, truly shall first come and restore all things. That's Elijah in the 20th century that came and restored all things. You know, the truth of water baptism, the truth on the Godhead, all them things that were restored. You know, and then in verse 12 he says, but I say unto you that alas has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto them whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And that was true, because what happened? John was murdered by Herodias, was it? Or Herod? And what happened to the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ? He was murdered by the religious men of that day too. But there is prophesied again in Malachi. Here's a landmark in the New Testament. Jesus is saying it. It has happened. There's one more landmark. Don't defraud it. Then it's saying, well, you know, well, there's one landmark. But then there's another landmark for the whole world to see. And you know what that is? That's Israel as a nation. When you see in the news at the minute, they had an election and Netanyahu is once again going to be prime minister. You know, the Lord has really that man there for a reason. Because if you'll not see it in the mainstream news, but if you go onto some of them, if you're on Facebook, if you like some of them news, like YNET News is Israel based, you'll get a lot of things that's happening in Israel that you won't see on the mainstream news. You know, you'll see how Netanyahu has restored, is it a daily or a weekly prayer meeting in the cabinet? And you know, that hadn't happened in years from some of the past presidents. And that is coming back. They're doing the Bible study once again, the scriptures. You know, where the celebrate, where you can go on now. And they'll see that a while back there, the Feast of Purim, where Esther was delivered, and all those Hebrew children. And, you know, and they're really promoting and telling and sharing about that. But we live in a secular world, and you know, you can really see it. Look at the minute in our own country, everything really within the last year or 2 years, you can see how sodomy has been promoted. Well, years ago it wouldn't been talked about, and now you can see in Australia where that rugby player has been sacked. Why? Because he stood for the word of God. And what has he done? He's lost his job over it. And even when somebody, one of the English then players, supported him just by liking a tweet, that's all he done. And people were nearly calling for him to be sacked too. You know, that's the time that we're in. But the Bible speaks of that. And but here's the thing, in Israel, a nation again, if you want the scriptures for it, Jeremiah 24, verse 5 to 7, it says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. So who's speaking here? The Lord is speaking. The God of Israel. So all these protesters against Israel, that are against Israel as a nation and want to see Israel annihilated, it will never be annihilated. You know why? Because it says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. They will never be able to defeat the Lord. That's the thing. And it says, like those good figs So will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their God. Now that's speaking, when this is prophesied, that was speaking of when Israel were carried away captive into Babylon. You know, they had broken Israel and Judah had become two kingdoms. And then, because they got away so far from God, some of them, and some of the kings were really evil. You know what happened? They were carried away. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians carried them away into Babylon. And they were in Babylon for years and years. And then God in his mercy let them come back and build a temple. And then they came back, and in Jesus' time that was the temple that was rebuilt during that time of the captivity of Israel. But God here is saying this. He says, "For I will set mine eyes upon them for good." Isn't that something? That God would set his eyes upon you for good.
Amen.
"And I will bring them again to this land." So there is God speaking. And he says, "I'll bring them again to this land." Now, I haven't looked up how long ago that, many years ago that was, that Jeremiah had said this. But from Jesus' time to ours is over 2,000 years. And I'm not sure Jeremiah to that. It could be 2,500 years ago. But God said it. But you know what? Israel's a nation tonight.
Amen.
Was it the 14th of May 1948 when they declared independence? Israel became a nation. There is a landmark.
Amen.
It's a landmark. Whether you believe the Bible or not, that's a landmark.
Amen.
Israel's a nation again. And you know, on the day that they decided they would become a nation, was it seven Arab armies come past them and tried to defeat them? But God stood with Israel. He stood with his word. And it says here, "And I will build them." And you know, that wee country and those people that had come after the Second World War and that had come in their droves into Israel, after 6.5 million of them, was it, that was killed by the Nazis, and started to come into Israel. And then, even just 3 years after that war was over, here's all these Arab nations come and try to basically kill them off. They didn't want a state of Israel at all. But God stood for them and he fought for them.
Amen.
And you know, was it 2 years ago in 2017, there was 8.712 million of a population in Israel. 8.712 million. Northern Ireland the same year at 1.8 million. You know, that's the difference in Israel. Like all the size of Israel. And that's the population. And God has really, it says, "I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up." And it says, "And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And even in Jeremiah 31:10, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it." So it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations." It's not talking to Israel here. It says, "It's O ye nations." That's us. It's England. That's Northern Ireland. That's America, Russia. It's the nations. It says, "And declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." So right there and then, you know what I can say from that? I can say that Israel is God's people. It's God's. God has said he's going to keep them. And no matter who comes against them, God will fight for them. Because you know, once God starts the work, he'll finish it. And Jesus spoke about it too in Matthew 24:32. He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree." So he's speaking about the fig tree. And in Jeremiah, it says, "Like these good figs." So he's likening them. He's talking about Israel. He's likening them both times now as figs. It says, "With his branches yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh." So that's a sign to us. That's a landmark. And it says, you know, as I said, you can't defraud. You can't defraud God. You can't deny that landmark. You can't move that landmark. You know, people want to actually, in a sense, want to move the landmark in Israel at the minute. They want to split it and give the Palestinian people a nation. And you know what happened that last, all those years ago, there was maybe 10, 15 years ago, when that president gave them back a certain amount of land.
Mm-hmm.
Within no time at all, was it an aneurysm? I'm not sure, but whatever happened to him, he ended up in a coma. And basically it was the finish of him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God had said he'd build them. He wouldn't take them down. And you know, in my opinion, they'll take back everything that they had before. You know, even in Jordan, parts of Jordan and Syria, tomorrow that'll come through war. But you know, every time Israel goes into a war, they seem to gain more and more territory. That's because God's with them. But that's Israel's landmark. And then what's another landmark? Another landmark is the state of the world, the sin of the world before the Lord would come. You know, it's not some landmark. The fact that it's such a simple time that we're living in, where the finest men are exalted, and where bitter is called sweet and sweet is called bitter, that's a landmark once again for us. It says in Matthew 24 and 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, it does not sound a bit like today. And it says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And it says, and they knew not. You know, many people really know tonight that the Lord's returning. It seems to be now the popular thing is that anybody within, what would you say, celebrity now, if anybody ever gets to that stage of celebrity, you know, one of the first things that nearly come out now, and I can really notice it on the radio, where some of these ones now on the radio, and they'll be talking about something and they say, well, I don't believe in anything like that now, I don't practice, I'm not a practicing Christian, or don't believe in them things. But maybe they were brought up in that sort of family. But a lot of times now, it's sort of nearly as if you believe in these things, you're a bit daft on it. It's like Brexit. If you voted to leave, you didn't really know what you were doing, you're a bit dopey on it, and you really need a vote again, so this time you know to vote that you don't want Brexit. You know, and that's the way the mentality of the world is, that if you don't see it their way, you're a bit dopey on it. But here's these people here, it says, and they knew it not. But Noah had been preaching for 120 years that God was going to send a flood, and the only way of safety was the ark. And they knew it not. They ignored it. It was a landmark. You know, and it was a landmark in a sense, because in America you can go now where there's a full-size replica. You know, it's such a massive thing. You can go on the internet and look at it. You could not ignore it. You couldn't miss it in that area. You could not miss that. But they, you know what? They dismissed it. They didn't even, they took no notice of that landmark. And it also says about, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall be, as in Luke 17:29, it says, likewise as in the days of Lot, and it goes on. You know what? What was the days of Lot? What happened in the days of Lot? Mm-hmm. We know what happened in the days of Lot. When them two angels went in to bring Lot and his family out, the men of that city come past the door and beat on it. So that they wanted to know them two men. They didn't want the daughters, Lot's daughter. They wanted the men. That's the spirit of sodomy, see. And it's rife in our day. And if you say anything against it, you're homophobe, you're preaching hate. You know, that's basically what it's come down to. That's what they say. But it's not. It's God's word. You know, and the thing is, people say, well, they were born that way, they can't help it. And like I would always thought, that's nonsense. But then I was thinking, you know, in a sense, what they're saying is, there is a slight bit of truth in it. They were born that way. You know why they were born that way? Because they were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen. And they're a guilty, vile sinner. Amen. That's why they were born that way. Yes. And here's the big shocking bit. Each and every one of us was born that way also. Yes. But the difference is, as Gary has said this morning, or tonight, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It's not the difference. Amen. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and here's what it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. This is in where Noah's time, in Genesis 6. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, and that is what it's like today. A lot of times in the workplace, you know what's people's minds in the workplace? It's how they can get the most work out of you. How they can make the most money. And here's the thing, they don't care how they get it. Why they have to trump on you to get to it. Why they don't have to get rid of you. while they don't have to do a dirty deed or a wee back honder, but it's to get themselves ahead in life, as they would say, and make as much money as they can. And here's a, every thought was only evil continually. But God said, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him on his heart. What state was it in when they grieved God? You know, God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And in this time, this was before any law had come on the, as in the Ten Commandments. This was an age of grace, where if man sought God, you know, they could come, and like Abraham and Isaac and all, you know, it was an age where there was grace, where God hadn't put down a set of rules and a set of, this is what you do, and so many turtle loves or so many bullocks, and you, every year you do this and keep this feast. But here, they had got to such a stage where they grieved the Lord, and he wanted to wipe them all out. But thank God that there was always a remnant. He had a bride. He's a bride in our day. And I'll soon be finished. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So in our day and age, when all this, when you see such a simple world, it says they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, be neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, there's a brave list there right now. And in our day and age, that's rife. You know, it's not an age now where people's really out to do you good. A lot of people's only out for themselves, you know, and that's such a sad thing to say that. There is still people, and you know, they're kind people. They'll do what you can for you. But there's a lot of people, and I'm not modern. It's like the Good Samaritan. There's a lot more walking past than what's stopping to give the help. And it says in 11 then, and such for some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Don't you thank the Lord that we were like that, but now we're justified, we're sanctified? And what did it say in Genesis, if you'd read on? It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord ourselves. Because at one point in our lives, and most of us here tonight, at one point in our lives, we've realised that we're a sinner. We're guilty of hell. That's what we were guilty of a lost eternity. But God in his mercy and his grace showed us our need of salvation. And his Spirit has moved upon us. And you've come to a point where you've asked the Lord into your heart as your own personal Saviour. You know, that's God's grace and God's mercy. And it says, and such for some of you, but ye are washed. You're sanctified. What by? By the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, what does it say in Romans 10 and 9? Everybody knows it. It says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in 10, Romans 10 and 13, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, that's just a small thought tonight. I want to give time to see what it was later in the thought. I want to give time for prayer. But there's landmarks all around us in the natural, but more so in the spiritual and in this Word of God. You know, and here's the thing. The way you see the landmarks, you open your eyes and you look at it. And unless you read this word, you'll not see the landmarks. You'll not know them. You have to read it. And when you read it, then you'll recognize it. Amen. And you know, and pray that God will show you. That's the thing. Read the Word of God and pray that God will show you his word and what his will is. Let's come and bow our heads again before Gary leads or whatever he wants to do.